Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks for joining us. It's Thursday, April 8th, 2021. Yeah. You know, those highlights didn't make me feel better, Jake. Boo. Boo. Well, yeah.
Couple of them. Salvi Dong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Salvador Perez.
Hey, got five innings out of Junis, right? That's a plus.
Heck of a start.
Right.
So who likes Jesse Hahn again?
I don't know. The same person likes Greg Holland. Yeah.
Seems like those guys are kind of different.
And they both did the same thing yesterday.
Right. Right. Well, like, I don't know what the, it's curious to me, they're trying to figure roles out for players. Greg Holland's done it before, and so there's a track record of Greg Holland having some success, including last year. I'm just, I'm struggling to see the reason why Jesse Hahn is thrust into high-leverage situations without really having a track record of success. I'm trying to see where this is coming from. Nate, you seem to be a supporter. What's the reasoning behind all this?
Well, I don't know exactly what the reason is for why they're using him when, because the other day it was late in the game. This time it was in the sixth inning, right? So
1-0 game, high leverage.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Mike Matheny likes him. I've liked him. I thought, and I still think he's going to have a good season if he stays healthy. But you know, he didn't get the job done yesterday. That's for sure.
Right. I'm just, you know, I like to understand things. You know, he has no history. He has no history of being an effective reliever in his career. He's not a young guy. He's not a prospect. He's not a guy they have a lot invested in. He's thrown now 23 innings in a Royals uniform. Yeah, his career 4.12 ERA. It's all right. It's pretty good. Career 1.3 whip. He's never been able to stay healthy. You know, closed a few games out last year. Is it just his stuff? I'd like to know why, like, you know, when you've got all these other arms that have proven themselves in bullpens over the years, it's just how do they come up with, hey, Jesse Hahn's going to be a high leverage guy in this bullpen? You talk to people. What's the any thoughts to what the reasoning behind it is? Or you say, hey, you like him. Why do you like him?
Well, I thought he was really good last year. You know, I really, when he did pitch last year, and it was only 17 innings, so, you know, that's a small sample size, but I thought he was, I liked what I saw when I watched him pitch last year. I think he struck out more than a batter per inning, had an ERA below one, and didn't get a lot of guys on base, so I think he could build on what he did last year, and I'm not suggesting that I didn't pick him to be my saves leader for the Royals when we threw that out there the other day. I'm not suggesting I want him pitching over all these other guys all the time. I just thought he was a good piece in the bullpen this year. And I still think that. I mean, obviously, you know, like seeing him give up 2-run homer yesterday like he did.
Yeah, I mean, he got bailed out of his first outing was bad too. He just got saved by Carlos Santana, and so be curious to see how they use him moving forward. But that sucked yesterday after what Jake Junis did, and the effort he gave to go five innings and then hand the keys over to Jesse Hahn, and he immediately gives up the lead. Royals fight back, and then Greg Holland, as Nate points out, did the same thing that Jesse Hahn did, and gave up a home run to really the only guy that can hurt you in their lineup, basically, which leads to the other question is, why are you pitching to him, especially after he hurt you the first time? I mean, that lineup's not very good around him. We've talked about this, and he by far is the one guy you circle in that lineup that don't let him beat you. And you kind of let him beat you twice yesterday. And so that's a question as well in that lineup, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's literally, like you said, like the only guy you fear in that lineup. And, I mean, it was Jose Ramirez 4, Royals 2 yesterday.
Yeah, he got him twice, and so the Royals lose 4-2. Jake Junis was really spectacular and was displaying that new cutter. He looked fantastic. 5 innings, only 1 hit, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, threw 58 pitches. He lasted longer than we thought. And so I know some people were bitching on Twitter, why are you taking him out? Well, he wasn't supposed to go 4 innings. He was probably only supposed to go 2 or 3 innings going into the game. But his pitch count was low, and he was effective, and I was impressed that they got 5 innings out of him. He deserved the win. The bullpen let him down. And look, the bullpen, honestly, could be an issue for this team. I know that Greg Holland was good last year, but take yourself back to what you thought of Greg Holland before last year. He was no shoo-in to make the team, much less end up being the closer. And he pitched way better than I think anyone with the most optimistic perspective had. I mean, he was outstanding, but coming into last year, he had struggled. He had struggled the year before with Arizona. He had struggled, and that was only in 35 innings, but still, it had been a while since he was considered a healthy and effective reliever that you could depend on. And then he came to Kansas City last year and rebounded and pitched really well and ended up being the closer, and they brought him back. But it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world at 35 years old and with his injury history if he was unable to duplicate that performance from last year. And I know a lot of people, including me, were excited to see Wade Davis on opening day. But again, you know, Wade Davis, his career was kind of left for dead. And if he comes back and pitches well, similar to the way Holland did last year, I think that would be a big surprise to a lot of people. We'd love it, but I'm not expecting it. I mean, I don't know that I even expected him to make the team. I was pleasantly surprised that he pitched so well in the spring that he made the team. And so I don't know if you want to pin your hopes all on him. We've talked about Kyle Zimmer. Kyle Zimmer has good stuff, and he looks like he can be an effective reliever, but are you to the point where you feel like you can count on him to get guys out, but most importantly, to stay healthy? Jesse Hahn is, well, Jesse Hahn is Jesse Hahn. He's on his third team. He's had a long, long history of having injury problem after injury problem. He's always had good stuff, but he's just been a guy for the Padres. He's been a guy for Oakland. He missed all of 2018. The Royals traded for him, and he pitched 4 innings in 2019. In 2020, he was very effective, but he pitched 17 innings. You know, that Nate, you bristle at people paying attention to spring stats. Well, I bristle at anyone putting a whole lot into 17 innings. It is what it is. And so if you count on him, okay. But there's nothing in his history that suggests you should count on him for a full season of pitching effective baseball. But when he's out there, when he's healthy, can he be good? Yeah. Unfortunately, he has not been good in either one of his outings so far this year. So you have to have some question marks because he doesn't have the track record. He doesn't have the track record where he says, hey, it's Jesse Hahn. He'll figure it out. He'll be good. Just leave him in there. Leave him in that important role. And so, you know, does he have good stuff? Was he good in a few games last year? Yes. But he's 32 years old, and he's still trying to establish himself as a major league pitcher. And so I don't think he's to the point where you can just count on him and say, done deal. Scott Barlow is terrific. I love Scott Barlow. I think he's one of the guys you can count on in the bullpen. Josh Staumont is terrific. He's clearly not back to 100%, or they'd be using him more. I think he's a guy that even though he can be inconsistent, I like Josh Staumont a lot, and I think he's a star in the bullpen. It's, you know, there's just some question marks there. Could it all come together and be a good bullpen? Yes, but there are enough question marks, enough age, and enough injury history to leave you wondering if this is going to be a strength of the team or if this could be an issue for the team moving forward. Nate, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. And I would even go so far as to say that the two guys that you feel the most confidence in, I agree with, in Barlow and Staumont, they're not like totally proven, you know. I mean, Barlow's, you know, his ERA was just above 4 last year. Like you said, not terrible, but it's not something like, oh man, he was just dominant last year. And Staumont was pretty good last year, showed flashes of being dominant, but not as consistent as you hope he becomes this year. You know, I'm very high on Staumont. I'm not trying to pick him apart. I'm just backing up your argument that there aren't a lot of just completely sure things in this bullpen, because the guys that have the track record of being sure things are on the wrong side of their career. And the guys that you think maybe have the chance to become sure things haven't proven it over the long haul yet. And then there's those guys in between. And I'd put Jesse Hahn in between. You know, he's shown he can be a decent pitcher when healthy, but hasn't been able to stay healthy. And, there's a lot of question marks like that in the bullpen. I think that's very fair to bring up. And I hope Staumont gets his fitness back, gets healthy, and recovers completely from COVID. And if that happens, I think that's a big piece to add back to your bullpen. But I think you're right. There are guys that excite me in the bullpen, but there's not like a ton of confidence. There's not a ton of reason to just be like, yep, yeah. When back in the day when it was like, oh, we're in the sixth inning, Royals got this. Like Mike DePasquale, they got this. You don't really feel that way right now.
That's what they're missing. 100% Staumont.
I mean, that makes a big difference. Because that just knocks everybody down, right? Like into a lesser leverage spot if he's available in a way they can trust him.
Like I'd like to see him in those situations as opposed to Hahn.
Sure,
I think yes. he would have been ahead of in the pecking order. You know.
Yeah. Amen.
And we talked to like Jake Brents. Looks like he has great stuff, but I mean I don't know.
Don't know where it's going.
This is his fourth organization. He has tremendous stuff, but we don't know if he has, you know, that type of command. I mean, Jake Junis looked great, and I had thought maybe Jake Junis could be a really effective reliever, but after what I saw yesterday, you're going to have to make an argument as to why he shouldn't get a crack at being the fifth starter.
Right.
Jake, you have any comments on this?
I mean, I think you run him out there a couple more times to see if he can repeat this performance. I mean, and if he can, then you leave that alone. You leave that alone, and then you have depth in that rotation.
He looked really good yesterday.
Yeah, I mean,
he looked really good yesterday, and you can give a real reason as to why Jacob Junis could take a step forward this year, because of the addition of the cutter. We've talked about this. This is no surprise. We talked about this. It was one of the big storylines throughout the entire spring training. Now, is this sustainable? I don't know, but it's just there's at least a viable reason why Junis can be better this year. And so far, he's done everything you've asked him to do. Go prove it in the spring. Okay, it looks better. Now go out there and give us three good innings on a bullpen day. Okay, he gave you five of one hit ball. And argued to stay in the game, and they got that last out, which was impressive that Matheny let him stay in the game, and he backed it up and made Matheny look smart. And so, yes, you have plenty of Royals prospects, young starting pitchers that will be ready very soon. Bubich was disappointing in spring, but he could easily rebound and look better at the camp, and maybe have some effective outings if they give him a chance to pitch Double A or Triple A, and you can say, okay, we want Bubich back. But until then, I say give Junis a shot. I mean, how could you not give him another start after yesterday? Right?
100%. He and Matheny said, you know, they need a fifth starter next week. And so, who else? Who else has earned that start? You know, you mentioned Bubich. He got sent down for a reason. And you know how I bristle at spring numbers, but he's young enough that he doesn't really have a track record that you can just discard everything that happened in spring training. And Jake Junis just went out there in a major league game, in a real game that counts, and did much more than what you had the right to expect from him. So, yeah, I mean, why would anyone else get that opportunity but him?
And going back to the bullpen, that's why I've kept asking this question the last couple of days. And when I ask you about confidence level in relievers, what's your pecking order? What's the hierarchy? Who's the guy you have the most confidence in? And rank those for me. And that's not easy. It's like right now, it's Barlow. But that could change by next week. But I'm just being honest with you. Like, right now, I don't feel great when Han's on the mound. Right now, I don't feel great if Holland's out there. And you remember, he struggled opening day as well. I'd love to see Stallmont, but there's a reason why they're not using him a lot. And so, they know what his physical condition is and what he can handle and what he can't. And so you really can't argue with that. There's a reason why they're not using him. But if they were able to use him, he would be up there for me. I want to wrap my arms around Wade Davis and say, you're back, baby. You know, wait or check, please. But I don't know. And Kyle Zimmer, I've tried to wrap my arms around him several times over the past several years, and he's pushed me away with an injury. But I'd love it to be him. We talked about Brent. I like Carlos Hernandez. I think his future is in the rotation. But, I mean, who knows? Who's the guy you have most confidence in out there right now? And then we'll break. Jake and Nate.
Well, right now, I guess I would say Barlow, because I don't know what Stallmont's physical.
Does it feel like that's a great vote of confidence? See, you're like, hey, right now, you're like me, like,
hey. Yeah, I mean, I like Barlow. I like him, but I just.
He likes you.
If Stallmont was healthy, I'd say Stallmont.
Yeah, I think I don't feel like any, like right now, I don't feel like anyone. Oh, he's in the game. Game over.
Right. Right.
Like, it's like, oh, he's in the game. Oh, I hope this works out. Jake?
I mean, I want to say Greg Holland because I have him in my Roto League. But
say it.
No.
Don't let us influence
yesterday,
you.
No. Wade Davis, I suppose.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want that to be true, but really?
Look, there's no right answer.
I know, but I know, but that's such a tremendous leap of faith. Is this 2014, Jake? I said, hey, Wade Davis, you know.
Hey, yeah, catch Moustakas out. I saw it the next day.
Because let me tell you real quick. 2018, his ERA was 4.13. 2019, his ERA was 8.65. Last year, he only pitched four innings. And this year, he's getting an inning and two-thirds, and he's given up a run. That's the guy you have most confidence in right now?
I mean, just because I haven't seen, you've seen very little. I've seen one good outing out of him. I've seen one good outing out of him.
Hey.
I've seen one good outing out of him. That's more than most of his bullpen. I've seen one good outing.
Don't be afraid to say it's because 2014, 2015. Don't be afraid to say that.
Well, not completely, but it'd be hard to say that it doesn't have an influence. But look,
if his name was
who else has performed better?
If his name was John Davis and he had those stats, would you say the same thing?
Well, I mean, he got the opening day close. I mean,
right.
He's got the save. I mean, that, who else has gone out there and
Barlow?
I mean, yeah, I suppose, but
Well, yeah, he's been good. Yeah, but I'm not, you know. Hey, he's pitched 3 2/3 innings and hasn't given up a run yet, only given up a hit. But like Nate said, his numbers were solid last couple of years. They've been okay, but nothing to say that I mean, I like him. He's been good so far this year. My point is, there's some question marks. This thing could come together and be pretty damn good, or it could get sideways in a hurry. Sideways, starring Paul Giamatti and Thomas Hayden Church.
Good movie.
Since we were talking about Paul Giamatti, one of his more fantastic performances. Wouldn't you agree, Jake?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the right. Scene on the golf course is still one of my favorites.
Right. Just
turn around, just
that.
Rip balls into the group behind you.
there were several scenes in there that...
I mean, times I've wanted to do that.
Yeah, well, please don't. We will take a break and talk more about things that Jake wants to do that he shouldn't on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 Spot. Welcome back to the show, Jake. What do you think my reaction to that was?
Probably pretty calm.
You know what it actually was? I was like, it was kind of like stunned. Like, are we okay? Are we okay here?
Are we?
I didn't know. I don't know.
You're still here.
Well, oh boy. If you think, hey, Steven sounds like crap today, you know what? You're right. Well, let me give a shout out to Michelle. I had a very long day at St. Luke's Hospital, but Michelle took good care of me. And now I'm getting back at it, fellas. But thank you, Michelle. It always means something when people are nice and they treat you nice. Isn't that right? Don't you like that? It doesn't take much to be nice to somebody. And she was very nice to me during a trying day. So we'll give a shout out. Now maybe Nate will be nice to me. We'll see.
Don't do it.
Is that really what our listeners want?
I don't know what our listeners want.
Why don't, Jake, why don't you, why wouldn't you say Scott Barlow because of his hair, though? I was sure you were going to throw yourself at Scott Barlow and say, that's my guy.
I mean, I don't know.
You couldn't grow your hair like that.
I'm trying to.
I know you're trying to, but you think you can?
No, I'm too old. My hair's falling out. I take a shower
really?
Every morning and my drain is full of my hair.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm losing it. I got a nice bald spot going on.
See, I don't go through that because I lost my hair 25 years ago, so.
But yeah. Your beard is thick and lush.
You know what?
It ain't going nowhere.
You know,
that ain't falling out.
The beard is getting kind of ridiculous, but I'm liking it. I think I'm
That's
going.
Not falling out, is it?
No, the beard The beard is healthy. It's a healthy beard.
I don't have any problem. I started losing my hair in my 20s, so I said, you know what, Mother Nature? I'm going to beat you to it. So I just started shaving it, and I don't want to go through any of that. But, like, my beard, it's never let me down. This beard starts falling out that I'm, you know.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go to December without touching my hair or my beard.
Be a long December, counting crows.
I'm trying to get to Maui with a full beard and long hair.
Nate Ducati, the last time Kansas AD had a press conference, it did not leave a delicious taste in your mouth. How about yesterday's press conference?
I really liked what I heard from Travis Goff. He sounded to me...
Be specific. Like, what did you like?
He sounded to me like exactly what KU needs. And I've said to you many times, I wanted somebody that wants the job for the right reasons. And he seems to me to want the job for, I believe fully that he wants the job because he loves Kansas. And he wants to do what's best for the university. And that KU, he's proud to be from Kansas. And what I liked was, it was to me the perfect mix between humility and confidence. I feel like we've had that wrong for a long time. When I say we, I'm a KU alum. You know, it hurts me to see the school that I went to go through a lot of the things it's gone through for the past several years. And I feel like it's like KU's had either a brash, arrogant AD that seemed to have all the answers and none of the questions, or an AD that didn't have enough self-confidence to stand by his convictions.
It seems like there was an overcorrection on the last hire.
Yeah, both times.
Right.
Because Lou Perkins was this brash, you know, abrasive East Coast big personality. And so then they went with the kind of meek and humble Shane Zenger, who didn't seem like he was big enough for the job to make some of the hard decisions that needed to be made and stand by him and things like that. And I actually think Shane Zenger's heart was in the right place most of the time, until maybe he tried to kind of do some desperate things to save his job at the end. I don't think his heart was in the right place sometimes with
that.
What
did he do? I can't remember what he.
Well,
what was his,
I mean, nothing horrible, but just him? Like, just, you know, his approach was for a while there was, you got to build us, you know, a new practice facility for football and completely renovate the football stadium and reset the shot clock for me and the whole football program, and you know, that type of stuff that to me was a little bit like this is more about you trying to, you know, buy more time than it is about what the university needs right now. That was my opinion. But overall, I think Shane was a really good person and a guy that his heart was in the right place. He didn't have as I don't think he had enough confidence.
Right.
Yeah,
self-confidence,
self belief and self confidence.
And I think you listened to some of the wrong people.
Yeah.
And I think when you're in the position at Kansas, you're trying to listen to the people who have money and they have a lot of power.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to serve a lot of people and didn't have enough confidence in himself to do that. But you know, to your point, I think he his heart was in the right place. I think he was a good man, and he did his best, but his best just wasn't enough for that job.
And also, I feel like it's been a problem for a while at KU, and you heard Goff talk about this a little bit, of the athletic director connecting with the boosters, and like directly connecting with the boosters, not like just sending Greg Gurley out to talk to him. They all love Greg Gurley. You know, they want to talk to him, but you know, it's you also want to hear from the boss sometimes, and you want to feel like your opinion matters and that you're valued, not just when we need you to cut another check to help us fire a coach. You know, it's kind of like we talk about how many old friends of yours hit you up for tickets all the time, and that's the only time you hear from them.
There you go.
You know, and after a while you go, well, do you like me or do you care about me? Or
not really.
I'm just a ticket. I'm just a ticket vendor for you.
I've realized the answer is no. They don't really like me.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that the AD needs to be somebody that every once in a while just reaches out to him to connect to him. And I think that with Shane, I personally believe it was a lack of confidence to do that. And I think with some of the other ADs, it's been like a little bit of arrogance. I don't need to do that. I don't need to go talk to these people, and you know, just because they have money or whatever. And so I think I heard from Goff that he understands that's important. But what I liked was I was worried more that just on the surface, since I don't know him at all, and that he's relatively young and hasn't been a head AD before, that he might come across as a little meek. And I didn't think he came across as meek at all. I think he came across as very confident. He handled himself very well with the questions he got. I thought he expressed a lot of confidence, but not arrogance. You know,
his overall demeanor is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think how he's cut his teeth to this point, it's like when you see things like he saw at Tulane, like that puts perspective in. It's like you walk into this situation, it's a dire situation. This athletic program is a you know, outside of Bill Self and the even that with the investigations going on, it puts in perspective. When you see, you know, what he saw after Katrina, it's like this is just, you know, let's back this out a little. Let's pull the lens back a little bit, and you have a real life situation where human beings are struggling to get through life. And then you put it in perspective. And I think that is a life experience that will pay dividends in this role
You're right, man.
An AD at Kansas.
That's what stood out to me too, listening to him. And we had the whole press conference on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So I was listening to it driving home and listening to him talk about his experience dealing with down at Tulane, dealing with the aftermath of Katrina. And when somebody asked him about did he feel like he needed to take an AD position at a smaller school as a stepping stone to properly prepare him to take a job like the AD at Kansas, and he said no. His going through the experiences that he did at Tulane and then Northwestern, he was confident that he did not need to take a job at a smaller school as an AD after the experiences that he went through at those schools. So yeah, you're right. That stood out to me the most when he described some of the things that that athletic department and that university had to deal with in the aftermath of Katrina. That was, other issues and other problems pale in comparison to that. We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. The Royals lose a very frustrating game yesterday to Cleveland after Jake Junis had just a terrific performance and went five innings and only gave up one hit. Jesse Hahn blew the lead, but then the Royals fought back and tied it. And, hey, Kyle Isbell and Nicky Lopez. All right, again. Good stuff from those two youngsters. But then Greg Holland gave up another home run to Jose Ramirez, who had homered earlier in the game. And the Royals end up losing 4-2. Well, now they get to see the Chicago White Sox today. Another afternoon affair. And those are the best affairs they have, right? Afternoon ones?
Afternoon delight, as they say.
I might argue that.
Might argue what?
I like night games. I like night affairs.
Yeah. I appreciate the afternoon games.
Yeah, Friday night. I like a nice Friday night game. Get done with your day and your week's at the end, and you just kick back and watch throw the Royals on. It's summertime to me.
How about this one today? 3:10.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Get a chance. Help us get some post game sound for tomorrow.
Yeah. I guess midweek, end of the week. I'm for an afternoon game for a Thursday afternoon.
I'm looking forward to watching Brad Keller through the lens of what Boddicker told
Absolutely.
Us yesterday about how he wouldn't. I mean, man, Boddicker does such a good job of pointing out things that you don't really notice.
Tell him
at least
to stop
I don't
texting
really notice.
Me right now.
It's almost like he used to pitch.
It's like he knows the game or something. But I'm going to see if Brad Keller has confidence in that slider. And hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully he's got that slider working and has a bounce back. Royals need him to be solid, obviously. They need him to be Brad Keller.
Yeah, Matheny said that Keller's not dealing with any, I don't know if he come out and admit it, but wasn't dealing with any arm fatigue or anything. This was the plan that they were going to go with regardless at the beginning of the season. And so, yeah, I'm curious to see how he looks, and we all feel a lot better if he bounces back and has a strong out against the White Sox. Going back to something else, we were talking about, who we have confidence in and in high leverage situations. Again, because I don't want to just gloss over this because Jake had an issue with this as well. Why were they pitching Jose Ramirez? I mean, I get he got you the first time, but maybe the second time, no?
No, never. Like, throw him four pitches in the dirt and say, here you go.
Well, after the first time and then you've gone through the lineup right. several times and that's the only guy that's hurt you, I'm not letting him do that again.
Not in the late innings.
In that game.
No.
I believe the old adage is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Ooh. You're like, right.
Were you surprised that was allowed to happen?
A little bit, yeah.
And Jake, you are totally, you wouldn't have pitched to him.
No. I get it. Early innings, first half of the game, sure. But seventh, eighth, ninth, no. I give him nothing to hit. Not at.
But once he got you and you realize, like, not really have to worry about too many other hitters or any hitters at all in this lineup besides him. Right?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, he legitimately is the only guy who's going to hurt you. And if somebody else beats you, then you take your hat off to him. Tip your cap and say, okay, we got beat. I mean, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, after he got you the first time, I wouldn't have given him a chance to get me the second time. But, you know.
Hey, on a positive side, man, Nicky Lopez. You know, after they gave up the lead in the game and fell behind, he had that RBI base hit, had another walk yesterday. He's in 438.
Yeah, and that's why it's so disappointing, because you know you do come back and you tie it up and you give the same guy you let him get you again.
Yeah.
That's very, very frustrating. But you brought back Colin for a reason. He was terrific last year, and that's right now. I mean, like I told you, of the options we talked about, I guess that's your best guy, and he didn't get it done. And so, you know, they're going to see the Indians a lot more this season. And so let's keep that. Let's remember that. Don't let Jose Ramirez beat you twice in one game. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to play some Mike Matheny for you, but the Zoom call yesterday, Jake, how would you describe the sound quality? You had some very descriptive words that you used in the commercial break. How would you say that?
I would say it was...
Compare the sound to what?
Crispy might be the word. Is it a little crispy?
Crispy? So that sounds good to me.
Crunchy?
When you say something's crispy and crunchy, that sounds delicious.
Right, but when we're talking about audio, you want it nice and clear and clean.
So this is like a lot of snap, crackle, pop, like Rice Krispies?
You compared it to poop, though.
Well, yeah, that's I was trying to be TV friendly.
That's not...
It's caca.
You don't want that.
It's caca.
Yeah.
There you go. It's caca with the goal.
See, I feel like you get the idea when you compare it, when you say it, well, it sounds like poop. Like, okay.
Mierda.
Sounds crispy, like, I might like to have some of that.
Nope, you don't want any of that.
We are going to play a clip that I sent you. I slid into your DMs last night.
Yeah, I saw that.
In the next hour, I want to hear from...
Line that up about 7:30 after Buster Olney joins us at 7.
I want to hear from Baylor big man Mark Vidal, who gave us his thoughts as to why Baylor... was so fired up to play Gonzaga on Monday night, and boy did they put it on him. So we'll play that a little bit later. That's interesting.
You heard that yet, Nate?
I've not heard.
Oh,
it.
Oh boy.
Yeah, don't be
I won't
looking it up before then.
Okay.
I want you to hear it fresh on this show. Hot and fresh on this show. What are you laughing for?
It's funny.
And also, again,
you're funny.
Since we can't hear it, Mike Matheny, when asked about the arm fatigue, if that was a factor with Brad Keller, he said, no, nothing. It all comes down to we set a plan in place early with their best in mind and decided to stay the course. And so hopefully we'll see a better Brad Keller this afternoon against the Chicago White Sox. Back after this on WHB. You guys notice that? Jake Tunis is a handsome kid. I was watching a video of him talking. That's a handsome young man.
Most guys named Jake are.
Well, Jacob. You're handsome too. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.